Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. I'm very excited to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Michael, and actually joining you from the streets of Boston, so I apologize ahead of time for any background noise.
Oh, well, no problem. I'm sure it'll be fine. And I have to tell you, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, literally and figuratively.
Aren't we all, Michael?
Waiting for the good news.
Yeah, it's funny because we're all kind of in the not knowing together, really, in this case, because I mean, it is changing minute by minute.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So what do you know in this minute?
Well, in this minute, so the latest was that the passport was supposed to come through on Friday, which it didn't.
Yeah.
Which was not a surprise, because we know how things can go there. And then on Monday, I was unable to get through to Zambia the entire day.
Oh, wow.
So, which also happens. That's also not unusual, but just that, you know, that was the next day that Teresa was supposed to be handed her passport. So I'm on pins and needles, unable to get through to her.
Right.
And tried everything I could try and just couldn't get through. So this morning, first thing when I woke up, I called her, and sure enough, she'd been handed her passport this morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I immediately got on the phone with the U.S. Embassy in Lusaka, and actually the woman was great. I said to her, you know, this is Jennifer. I'm calling from the United States about Teresa Kapenda's visa. And she says, oh. I said, do you know the story? She said, the woman who lost her passport on the way to Johannesburg. And I said, that's the one. So they are fabulous, and they're ready to take Teresa first thing tomorrow morning to get that visa process started. By that point, unfortunately, it was already so late in Zambia that there were no more buses to Lusaka, but we had to get to Lusaka tonight so she'd be there in time for the appointment. So called Friday. Friday drove her in to Lusaka tonight, and they're spending the night there, and we've got our fingers crossed for the morning.
Wow. That
yeah.
is great.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
There's
the streets of Boston.
Say that again?
I said, sorry, that was the streets of Boston going by.
Right. So they're about 10 hours ahead, is that right?
They are, right now they are 9 hours ahead of California.
Okay, good. So we're close to Wednesday morning there, sort of real time.
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Great. And that's when she's going to go to the embassy in Lusaka and get the visa.
That's right. So we've been, other folks on the team have been working on plane tickets, and it looks like the earliest she'll probably fly out would be Saturday, arriving in California on Sunday.
Oh, great.
So,
great.
Yeah.
Now, does she have to go back to Ndola to fly out? Or can she?
Yes, she will go back to Ndola to fly out just because it makes life much simpler. Now she at least knows the Ndola to Johannesburg routine, so she won't. That won't be a mystery to her.
Yeah.
So yes, she would go back and fly out of Ndola.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And I imagine that no one in the world would be able to separate her from her passport and visa this time.
I'm pretty sure. Yep, I think that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I don't think that'll happen again.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you, Michael, that the whole thing has just been an extraordinary practice experience for me. And I'm projecting, really, for the whole Sangha, everyone involved.
Yes. And it was interesting because I was talking with Dave, I think it was last week or the week before, on the Good News Update.
Uh-huh.
And he gave me the content update, and I said, okay, tell me about the process now.
Yeah. So
tell me a little bit about what you're seeing around that.
Yeah, well, it's just huge. And I, you know, we put out in a couple of the communications, I think, that one of the biggest things that has come out of it is such a sense of Sangha and how important Sangha is in practicing. Because, I mean, the number of people who have come together just simply on the content level is gigantic to make all of these things happen and to pave the way for getting the new passport, the new visa. All the teams all over the country who have put city tours, city events together and willing to let it go. And you know, just willing to do whatever needs to be done in the moment. And then in addition to that, the hundreds of emails that have come in from people expressing their support for what's going on and also expressing gratitude for being able to be part of the process. And it's just, it's one of those places for me where, I mean, sitting on that airplane coming back from Johannesburg where, you know, suddenly Teresa was no longer with me. And that's an 18-hour flight, and just sitting there, and over, there would just be these waves that would hit me, and I'd look at the seat next to me, which was empty because it was Teresa's seat, and I would just have this enormous wave of sadness and almost shock, like something, you know, like it was almost a trauma in a sense, and I was so grateful for the practice. Just there's nothing to do but to be here and be with this experience. You know, it's not going to be helpful to go and have some story about it and what could have happened and what could I have done and why did this happen. But the only thing that's going to have any, you know, that's going to be helpful to anyone is to just be here with this experience. It was extraordinary.
Wow, it sounds extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I project kind of, it's like the situation was thrust upon you so unexpectedly and you used the word shock, and I really get that sense of it.
Yeah, it really was. And I've felt I'm kind of aware as I'm going through all of the process that it's still there. That shock is still, it's still kind of floating around, and I'm still practicing with it as I go through. And that's one of the reasons I've been so grateful for so much Sangha right now, and people just, you know, just being willing to do whatever needs to be done and expressing support and care and kindness and all those things.
Yes. Yes, yes, wonderful. Wonderful practice opportunity.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, it's that place of, well, then we can kind of get on with the business of, okay, well, let's give it everything we've got to bring Teresa here, and maybe it will work and maybe it won't. But since we have the tools to deal with what's going on in the process level, it frees the way to be able to just move forward on the content level without kind of having some agenda about that or some story that's getting pulled along with that, or but just simply, okay, each day, you know, I wake up and do whatever there is to do. I mean, I had no idea what today was going to be. In fact, it's so funny, you know, I'm coming back to California tomorrow morning, and so I was finally going to pack up, and I thought, okay, well, I'll pack up and get caught up on email. Made that phone call to Teresa, spent the next 4 hours on the phone to Zambia.
Wow.
So you just never know how it's gonna what's gonna happen.
Never do know.
Yep.
And you said something just a minute ago that really caught my attention, and I'll try to reflect that as best I can. That you have the tools to work with this on the practice level,
mm-hmm.
and with those tools, practicing with those tools really frees you up to address the content in the way that's really most effective and most compassionate for all.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I mean, I could watch, there were moments where it felt like too much. The, you know, what was going on felt so, it felt bigger than what I was able to contain. And it was so interesting to watch how that immobilized me on the content level.
Wow.
I was not able to step up and do what needed to be done. And it was actually a really helpful experience to have because I realized, wow, if I'm going to be a, you know, contribution to this team and help us, you know, do whatever needs to be done, the only way to do that is to be present. That's the only way that I can, you know, be with this huge thing that's going on with me internally so that I can show up in whatever way I need to do that.
Yes, yes. Wow. Wow. And I project, show up, you have done.
Well, with huge support, truly. I mean, it's one of those, no wonder the Buddha taught we can't do this by ourselves.
Yeah. Quite amazing.
Yeah.
And I was really grateful the way you included the Sangha and asked for input about what shall we do with the East Coast Tour?
Yeah, well, you probably won't be shocked to hear that that was Sherry's idea. Which was just, I thought, a stroke of genius. Of course. I mean, what else are we going to do? This is such a huge community event. The song has been involved the whole way along. How are we going to make this decision? Oh, of course. We're going to get input from the Sangha.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. So I should be watching the blog tomorrow. Is that the best way to keep in tune?
That is definitely the best way. We're trying to, you know, we sent out an email today saying check the blog. We're trying not to bombard people with email. I know unsuccessfully. Mostly we are bombarding people with email. But we are trying to hold back. So that's why we're not sending the, you know, the minute by minute updates out as an email. Instead, we're posting them to the blog so that people have a little bit of choice around how much email goes into their inbox from us.
Yes, yes.
So, yes, we'll keep posting to that. You know, as soon as we get word, we're putting it up there.
Oh, great, because probably 4, 5, 6 hours from now, there might be some more information.
Yeah, I am going to try to sleep. And then once I get up, I'm actually going to be up very early because I have an early flight. So I'll be talking to several folks in Zambia before 3 a.m. your time. So, yeah, by the time you guys wake up, they'll be, well, I should say that because our web person is also on West Coast time, so I won't wake them up in the middle of the night. But it will be early in the morning, hopefully, where you'll get the next word.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Jen, thanks so much for sharing your excitement and what you see and what you see about practice. It's really enlightening for me.
Well, thanks for having me, Michael. It's a pleasure as always.
Okay.
Can't wait to be home.
Yep. Have a good flight.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And have a good show.
Okay. We will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Good evening and welcome to Open Air. I'm excited to be joined tonight by Dave, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Michael.
I can feel this adrenaline kind of running through my system. I'm kind of shaking here.
Yeah, boy, is it edge on the edge of your seat kind of a deal or what?
It is. It is kind of an edge of a seat kind of a deal.
Yeah, yeah, I've had such an amazing day, you know, just like Jen, you know, getting that news first thing in the morning. I mean, my first response was, you know, I'm shocked. It's kind of like the reverse shock.
Right.
You know, because much less than Jen, obviously, because Jen was right there. But, you know, we've been working towards having Teresa here for, I don't know how long, a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's finally today, and then it suddenly turns south.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like a death or some kind of a trauma or something. You know, it's just this big shock to the system. And I think it's probably been the case for all of us, especially those of us who have been intimately involved with the whole process of getting here. And we've been letting that go and working with that, and just like Jen's been talking about, you know, doing the practice of that. And then suddenly this morning it turned back around. And, you know, I was actually on the phone with Sherry, or with Jen, early in the morning when she said it. It was like, I can't believe it, you know, just because just on so many levels, like that it actually happened, that she got the passport in Zambia with all the stuff that would have had to happen. It was just really unbelievable.
Yes, it sounds like it.
Yeah. I was joking with Jen a little earlier about it. It's kind of like, for the month, it's better than the space shuttle launch, you know. Just, oh, my God, what's going to happen next? It's fun.
Yes, yes, exciting.
Yeah. Another thing I really enjoyed about that conversation you guys just had, it's just such an excellent conversation. And something Jen didn't really mention was, you know, I think for a lot of people, you know, there's two different levels that people in the Sangha have been watching this whole thing unfold from. You know, one is just the content level. You know, what in the world is going to happen with Teresa, and is she going to make it, and what's going to happen with the person, all that. But another part is on the process level, because, you know, what I was thinking as you guys were talking is, you know, we have, you know, we can talk pretty good about being present in the middle of challenging life circumstances and, you know, and so on. And then, you know, the rubber kind of hits the road for us.
Right.
And it's just so great to be, I'm feeling really grateful to be involved in an organization with this kind of integrity where, you know, so something really, really big for us happens and we don't abandon the practice as a result of that.
Yeah.
You know, just like you and Jim were talking about, as a matter of fact, quite the opposite. Now's the time that we really go to practice to see us through this. And it has been, from my perspective, kind of, you know, I've had sort of a front row seat, but really, really successfully, just being present, taking each step, one step at a time as it arises to take, and letting kind of life guide us wherever it's going to guide us. And it's just, it's inspiring to see the people involved and to watch people really dig in to the practice and to the moment in order to deal with the situation and really kind of walk the talk, you know, as they say.
Yes, 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 indeed, absolutely. And it seems like a lot of the practice that we do is people working on their individual circumstances. And in this case, it's something that's really affecting all of us in the Sangha. And as you say, really to see in the moment when something big hits like that, how do we respond?
Yeah, yeah. And an element of that is that's really been interesting for me is that it's so public. You know, I mean, all of this, and that it's intentionally public, you know, that we're, because there was, you know, it started happening, and then, well, what are we going to do? Well, we need to tell people. We have no idea where it's going to go, which really puts us, it's kind of like a facilitating group, you know, as for those of us who have a facilitation practice. You know, you're just kind of putting yourself on the line. You're sitting up there in front of the group on the cushion. Everybody is going to, you know, be watching what goes on. There's no script you can follow. You just have to be present and do the best you can. And it's fun to have that, the willingness to do that in a real public way, you know, kind of with everybody. And then I think everyone benefits from that because then everyone gets to be looking at what they're looking at. So this one event is a mirror for, you know, thousands of people. Everyone gets to see, if they're willing to see this and they want to, what they do with that.
Yes, absolutely. It's really great. Yeah, it's like playing out on a big scale, like in a big stadium where everybody can see and everybody can see what's going on.
Yeah, it's really true. And I think there's something in this of Sherry's genius, you know, because, as in everything that we do, actually, because it all comes from her originally. But, you know, that's been the avenue that Sherry has been taking us towards for quite a while. And some of us have gone kind of kicking and screaming, but... you know, and I can really see the wisdom in it because it's, you know, we want to make the practice available to as many people as possible. Anyone who's willing for it and wants it, really. And that really is the way to do it. You know, just make it public. And then if you have, you know, so there's the monks, there's the Living Compassion Board, there's all the people who facilitate within the practice, all the people who participate in that, in like in the sitting groups all over the country, all the people who come to workshops and retreats, and it kind of like, you know, circle within circle, going outward of people being able to benefit from that because of the kind of the integrity of the middle, you know. So the middle says, no matter what, we're going to do practice. You know, no matter what, we're use the one rule, which is we're going to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer. So we can drop that in suffering, and it doesn't matter what that thing is that we're using for that.
Yes, whether it's big or small, or in this area of my life or that area of my life. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, a fun thing we get to learn from that is, in a way, you start to look forward to the big stuff, because the bigger it is, the more energy that's involved in it. And then the bigger the release and the expansion that happens as practice works while we're engaged with that. You know?
Yeah.
So rather than being scared of life and having to, you know, kind of tiptoe around and hope nothing happens that'll be too scary or too challenging, you know, things like this, this is what I really get. It's like, you know, let's just go in it without any defenses. You know, I don't know what that old saying is. It's something like, or maybe it's something even Sherry has said, is that if you're going to fall down, you might as well be going as fast as you can.
Yes.
That kind of thing. And that you know, there's a way of approaching life, it feels like, from that, you know, from that point of view, that we all can learn from something like this. Certainly.
Yeah.
That's been something that's been big for me as I've gone through it.
Yes. No defenses, no holds barred, just keep going forward and go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and trust that all will be well. You know, trust that practice will work and that life works, and life will give us the information that we need when we need it. And like you and I were talking about last week on the Good News, trusting that in some way, even if we can't see it, this is the best for all. What's happening right now is the best for all. Often we don't know what that is, but there's just this felt sense that we get as we go through and experience over and over and over again the vast kindness that life brings to everything, that's just the way that it is. You know, it may not be going my way, I might not be liking how this is going, but if I can let go and step back, I can know that that in some way it's going in a way that's the best for everyone involved. And then, of course, a lot of times, you know, when we let go in that way, we can see how it's best for all later, after it all works out. You know,
yes.
I see why it had to be that way. Of course.
Yes. That's really interesting. So I see whatever is going on now, and I have whatever opinions, judgments, projections about it. And it sounds like what you're suggesting is to consider that what's going on is perhaps the best for all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems to be the way it works.
Wow. And it'll be a continuing show, sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can't wait to find out what's going on, what happens overnight. You know, I'm just thinking, I haven't figured out what time it is in Zambia, but it could be actually that Friday. Jen didn't mention who Friday is. Friday is our buddy, for anybody who doesn't know over there, who, master mechanic, just jack of all trades, willing to help out in a pinch in pretty much any way possible. He and Teresa are probably flying down the road in between Indola and, well, actually, no, they're probably there by now, come to think of it. But anyway, it's a amazing ride between those two cities with, you know, fires going all over the place, all over the road, people carrying huge bags of charcoal on their backs, and, you know, just people and animals and everything all over the place in the middle of the, you know, the African bush.
And this is like a 10 or 12-hour drive from Indola to Lusaka?
No, I think it's about 5 hours.
Oh, 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Great. Well, I'm going to tune in first thing in the morning.
Super. Yeah, me too.
And the good news, as usual, Dave, is that we have a stack of callers here.
Excellent. Well, let's get going.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Dave and Michael. This is Cam.
Hey, Cam.
Hi. I'm so happy to be on the air with you.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
I'm calling today, first of all, just to say that I'm really excited. I just signed up, registered to go do the bridge walk, my first bridge walk, so I'm really excited for that.
Oh, and, me too.
Yeah, so I'm following the news about Teresa very closely as well. And,
yeah, that's it. I'm glad you brought that up, because we didn't mention that. You know, obviously the bridge walk was the kind of the culmination of the tour that Teresa was going to do, and hopefully we'll still be able to do, at least the West Coast part of it. And it happens, I believe it's October 3, if I remember right. Big event, lots and lots of fun. So anybody who can make it, please do.
Yeah, and I got a friend to join me, so.
All right.
I'm calling today to see if I could get some perspective on an issue that I guess has been following me for a while, and it is probably a very common one. I'm a graduate student. I'm dissertating, and I'm writing, and I'm noticing that the period of writing has dragged on a lot, and not to my, satisfaction. The progress isn't happening as much as I would like, and so I've started to notice with this practice that I've been introducing into my life, I've started to notice what happens to me when I'm sitting down and I'm about to write. And what I'm getting is that there's just someone who really doesn't want to do it, who's pretty kind of upset that she has to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying, and it's kind of made me a little bit paranoid, because then I started to think, well, maybe that means that, you know, this is the voice of, like, my truth or something, or maybe this is, you know, meant to tell me that I'm not supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do something else. And so I'm trying to check in with, like, what is her function, you know? Is she a sub-personality that's trying to kind of throw me off? Because there are times that I really do feel connected to someone who really, really wants to finish this dissertation, feel very connected to it, and is very excited.
Let me back up for just a second, just to make sure people are following. So it sounds like are you fairly new to practice, or have you been kind of engaged in this for a while?
Oh, I would say I'm fairly new. It's been several months, but this is my first time calling, and so yeah, I'm fairly new.
Great, but you obviously have doped out the whole tool that we have that we call aspects of a personality. So when you're talking about this someone, you've doped out that there is a someone who just really doesn't want to do this. And you've also poked out there's a someone, it sounds like, who really does. And you're kind of looking at that and trying to sort out, well, what's true about this? And what in this is actually me?
Yeah.
Have you got any clues so far about that?
There are moments where I tell myself, well, you know, it almost doesn't matter if this is something you're meant to do. Like you're really close and you can do it and you can finish and you can decide at that point if pursuing academics is something that, you know, you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I've put so much of my, you know, my life into this work that I think I would really truly find a lot of satisfaction in wrapping up this period of my life and you know, finishing the commitment I made and I started out with.
Yeah, I would think it would feel very satisfying to complete it, whatever you do afterwards with it.
Absolutely, yeah.
But just because, you invested so much of yourself into it, to complete it and have it done and feel successful with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, Pam, if you're aware, you probably are, but, you know, this is the kind of thing that conditioning loves. Because, yeah, you can tell, right, by how much is going on about it. Because, you know, if you look at conditioned mind as kind of a, there's a bunch of different images that I think that work, but, you know, one is kind of a machine that causes us to suffer. That's kind of a mechanical way of looking at it. You can also look at it as sort of like, it gets kind of creepy, but, you know, like an entity, like a somebody who really is invested in our lives not working. If you look at it from that point of view, you can see how much juice there is potentially in this situation for conditioning and for, you know, that force that causes you to suffer. Because especially after you've invested so much of your life in this, you know, because that's big. You know, you've given of yourself to this thing. In the final hour, if conditioning can find a way to sabotage that and take the kind of the reward of all that effort away from you and get you to feel like it's your fault, which it will, and to feel bad about the whole thing, oh my gosh, what a bonanza for conditioned mind.
Yeah, I feel like I've lived with that struggle for a few years now, and maybe I'm hopefully finally catching on.
Oh, well, you obviously are, aren't you? Yeah. And it is good. I mean, it's kind of magical that, I mean, I don't know what it's been like for you, but at least from the outside, it's kind of magical that practice has come into your life in these past few months as this time has approached. Because, you know, the opportunity that we have in this, and I think this is very much kind of what you're creeping up against on situations like this, is to find out who we actually are. You know, that who we are, there's a lot of ways to say it, but we are the power to complete something like that and take it away from conditioned mind and self-hatred, for example. You know what I mean?
I do. And I guess the last question I have is one that a lot of people have asked, I guess, for their own issues is maybe some encouragement on how to talk with she who sits at the computer and is belligerent and is afraid or angry or doesn't want to write.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure. Well, gosh, there's so many ways to approach that. The as far as just how to talk to her, now, one thing about it is you're going to have to kind of, and this is the process that you're describing, you have to kind of dope out who she is.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Or where she is, maybe a better way to talk about it. Because, like you say, there's going to be all these different parts of you. You know, there's a part of you who doesn't want to do it. Well, that's obviously not her. There's a part of you who really does want to do it. Hard to say if that's her or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what we're to see, okay, what is, like, where's the heart in all of this? You know? But anyway, once as you, that I think that will kind of unfold for you as you go through. But for me, the best trick to just, you know, how to mentor that person is to kind of pretend like it's somebody else. You know, like if there was somebody else in your life, like a friend, or especially if like a younger person, like a younger sister or like a niece or nephew or a daughter, if you have a daughter, and imagine that they're in that very same situation. There's something, you know, that's really, really big in their life, really challenging. They've invested a lot of their life into. They really, really want to succeed. And they just need some support for going through that. What would you want to say to that other outside person? You know?
Yeah.
And then write those things down. And then put them on stickies and put it all over your computer.
That's a great technique. And I can definitely practice those things. I think I've noticed that actually doing the practice as opposed to, like, thinking about the practice has made a huge difference for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, Kim, that's what it's all about, you know, at least from my point of view. It's not about getting this thing done, even though, you know, if you head down this road, I think you probably will get this thing done because, you know, you'll be putting yourself in a – it's funny. I don't know if you heard the good news part of the portion, but it's a lot like what Jen was talking about. It's, you know, just getting as present as you can because that's the place from which you can be the most effective. But even so, you can probably see that, you know, in a way, it doesn't even really matter. What matters is this relationship you're talking about between you as kind of a mentor person and this young person who really wants to succeed at this task and needs somebody big there to make sure something really bad and unhappy and unfortunate doesn't happen. You know?
Wow. You say that and then my conditioning got really upset.
Oh.
It said no, it's about finishing. It's about getting the degree. It's about all of that. And so I can tell that you've said something to trigger.
Yeah. And do you have a sense of how that condition that comes up, that what it actually wants to take it away from you?
I'm sorry, what it wants?
Yeah, it presents it as if what it really wants is to get the degree.
Yes.
But I bet you that's not what's going on. You know, if it can, it's trying to talk you into thinking, well, it's really about the thing. It's about the...
It's taking me away from what you just said, my heart, which is that
exactly.
I really love, you know, the field that I'm in. I really love some of the questions that I'm pursuing. And it's kind of like, could I dare to love it without demanding that I get a degree at the end and getting recognition or getting whatever it is, accolades for accomplishing something? And conditioning says no. You
yeah.
only pursue the, you know, the title. That's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And so, wow, that's that really helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's big, isn't it?
It is. And
what does the heart say?
The heart says that. Oh, I'm getting a little emotional. The heart says that. That you know. The years that I put into this, they're not like empty years, that they were filled with real love, and that matters, and it's worth something, and it's worth, you know, every effort I can give it. So that seems to
yep.
be what the heart is saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very beautiful. And as we were saying earlier, you know, that, you know, more than anything else in this entire universe, that's what conditioning loves to try to take away from us, you know, because all of that beautiful energy that's in that place that you were just talking from could go into suffering if conditioning could talk you into allowing that.
Yeah.
And so this is the big job that's in front of you, you know. And it's not like conditioning would try to set it up. It's not like a success-failure kind of thing at all. It's more like you've been talking about it on this call. This is a place of practice. This is a big opportunity to see, to practice being able to take care of that tender place as best you can and not letting conditioning take it away from you.
That sounds great. Yeah, I'm, you know, when I'm not kind of under conditioning spell, I'm actually quite excited by the prospect of taking care of that tender place, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the beautiful thing in all of this is the part I just really love, is that from that place we're talking about, as you go forward with this project you're working on, you will succeed.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's the place where success happens from. And it's really kind of, it's very amazing, because then you get all of it. You know, conditioning would actually, I bet you, be satisfied with the degree as long as you felt bad about the way you got there. You know? Or you felt like, well, I didn't really deserve it, or if it could talk you into believing a story about how, well, I don't really like this kind of this field I'm in anyway, and all that. You know, that's all perfectly satisfying as a conditioning. You get the degree, but you also get lots of stuff and go with it. That's a great deal.
Right.
But with this, you have actually, there's the opportunity there for you to have all of it. You get the degree, you get actually, you know, the outside symbol of all this accomplishment and all you've been through. But you get the inside stuff too. You get the knowing that that this has been true for you. That there's been love here, like you were describing before. It's like you get the joy of it, and on the inside, and the good stuff on the outside too.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, and thanks for sharing. And, you know, as you go through this, Cam, if you need some support, you know, you start getting talked into suffering over this or whatever, call back and get some more support on the show, because I think it'd probably be fun for all of us to track your progress through this.
Thank you so much for the encouragement.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Michael, too.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Cam. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we are joined by Dave. Great privilege. Dave is a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Dave, we're going to take our sponsor breaks now, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, good.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Dave, we have about five more callers here in the queue.
Okay, we'll see what we can do.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Holly calling.
Hey, Holly.
Hi.
You're calling from a very far place.
I'm not in a
place.
Do I sound far away? This I'm ringing in America, but the phone's not very good.
Oh, okay. Well, I can hear you. We'll just have to plug along and do the best we can.
So is it crackly and faint?
No, there's a delay, but I think we can work with it.
Oh, no. Oh, well, I won't speak too long.
What's going on?
Well, maybe it's... Well, okay, in a nutshell. I've come back to America. I just had to come back to San Francisco. I had to be near Sangha. I went to the Esalen retreat with Sherry, and I'm coming to the bridge walk, and I rung up today about sitting with the San Francisco group. I got the number off the Living Compassion website, and if I have the finances I want to do, there is nothing wrong with your retreat. So it's kind of one of my motivations to come back for a couple of months.
Great, that's really exciting.
Well, it is exciting. I mean, I kind of feel like it's the most important thing in my life. And, what I'm really practicing with now, one of the things we did at the retreat at Esalen was looking at what we do practice and seeing what we actually practice. And I practice a lot of worry, but I've just been, like, one of my stories, as you all know, is around body pain, and it's been 5 years now since the car accident I had, and I'm sort of in a place with this now that I can practice with it pretty well, and I can see what the voices are saying. But when it's lately and it happens sometimes every few months, it's just really intense every day, and sometimes I just have to lie in bed and I just cry. And it just feels like it's impossible to practice with. It's almost like I'm so overwhelmed with the physical sensations and the mental stories that it's almost like I just can't. I just go into despair, and where I just feel like I can't practice.
Okay, let me catch up to you. So what you were encouraged to look at the Esalen retreat, it sounds like, is what are you actually practicing, with the understanding that we're always practicing something. We may be practicing, if we're lucky, we're practicing stepping back from the story, not believing the voices, letting go, coming back to the present, experiencing the well-being that's in the moment, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Often, though, we're not. Often, we're practicing something else, like deprivation or different forms of unhappiness, like you mentioned worry or despair. So you had this accident 5 years ago, and there's some pain that's come as a result of that. And what you're seeing is that what you're practicing a lot of times when you're not doing the spiritual practice is you're practicing believing stories about that pain and what it means and getting to a place of despair.
Totally.
And so, Holly, do you see how that is so, that you're actually... you're practicing something that's not necessarily true and real?
I see it when I see that's the truth when I'm disidentified somewhat, but when I'm in it, I'm aware that there's a story, but it's almost like I can't not believe it. It feels like insane, you know, and it's so frightening. I just don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, and of course there is something we can do, and it's fun to, because of the way you started out this conversation, because obviously you're doing exactly what the only thing we can do in a situation like this, which is to practice, right? And, you know, and a lot of times there's an expectation that, well, if I'm practicing, then that will immediately change everything, and I will, you know, leap out of the story and just kind of click my heels together and never suffer again. But that isn't the way it works. You know, we have to, some of these things are big, and they take a lot of looking and a lot of working through. But what we can do is we can just do the practice, trusting, a lot like we've been saying earlier in the call, trusting that just by doing the practice, all of this will be resolved. So, for example, coming to America to be near Sangha, wanting to participate in this sitting group in San Francisco, coming to the Bridge Walk, participating in the radio show. You know, all of those things are aspects of the practice. And if we just kind of show up and do those things, I think it's been my experience in a way, and I think a lot of people would back me up, that what happens is over time, almost kind of really without us having anything to do with it, these big karmic issues that we struggle with resolve themselves.
But that really makes sense because I think part of my thing is thinking it's that little tiny little trick my mind does that, well, if I practice and I'm really aware, then this will go away and I'll be fine. But actually, it's just in the showing up, it's the practice, just showing up to myself or whatever.
Yeah, it's so true what you're saying. I've really been getting this for myself. You know, it's not about, you know, it's tempting to try to kind of step back and look at ourselves and judge where we are in practice. I mean, everybody does that. You know, and a lot of practices really kind of support that. You know, you even get like different colored outfits depending on how advanced somebody thinks you are, that kind of thing. But, you know, that's really not the practice. That kind of, you know, we have this way that we learn through practice to step back and embrace ourselves in compassionate awareness. But that's a really different thing than stepping back and judging the person who is doing practice to find out where they are. Do you know? And so, you know, the recognizing that and letting that go, it suddenly becomes very simple. Like you said, we just show up and do the practice. You know, whatever that is, you know, get up in the morning and we sit. You know, if we sit later in the day, we sit. We get whatever support we can from the Sangha. We come to retreats and workshops if we're able to do that. We take, you know, maybe people probably know about the Reflective Listening Buddies program. You know, whatever we can do in order to support ourselves, knowing that that's the way in. You know, that's the way through all of this stuff that we struggle with. And then, you know, it doesn't really matter where we are or what we're going through or how we're struggling or any of that. All that's irrelevant. That's just what's happening as we're showing up doing the practice.
Thanks, Dave. That's awesome. That's like, it makes total, like, it's like, I think my thing is, like, I practice because I want to feel good, you know, and actually what makes me, it's just like, I think that's why I feel like, the importance of Sangha and just, if I don't have to feel good, I just have to be here.
Exactly. Yeah, to practice in order to feel good is just the same old condition we've been struggling with from, you know, since we're knee high. Exactly.
Oh, it's such a little trick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an excellent little trick that conditioning has.
Oh, thanks a lot. I think that's all I need to hear. Hey, I think just that reminder is so important.
Yeah, and you know, Holly, you're in an excellent place with this because, you know, now I'll admit that, you know, in the beginning of practice, it can be kind of tricky because we don't have a lot of experience of if we just let go and trust life, trust the practice that we do, that things that we will transform, you know, that life will be different, it will become easier, we will watch ourselves move through things that are difficult for us and become big, larger and larger within ourselves. That our heart will expand, our understanding will expand, all that. In the beginning, we don't have very much experience of that, and so it's really challenging to find the willingness to let go into practice and just trust that everything's going to be okay. But you've been around the block enough to know, to have had those kinds of experiences, to know that the practice really will serve you if you'll give yourself to it. And I think once a person gets to that place, everything gets a little bit easier because we can just we have the experience that says life will take care of us if we will just give ourselves to it. And actually, even if we won't.
Thank you for your faith in me. That's really, thanks. That's awesome. Yeah. Yay, grateful.
Yeah, that's great, Holly. Well, we'll be seeing a lot of you soon, huh?
Yeah, I'll see you guys all at the Bridge Walk at least.
Yeah, and don't forget, Holly, check out the web, because there's some other stuff happening. There's an event in San Francisco. I mean, a lot of it is dependent upon Teresa and what happens with Teresa, but it's scheduled, and if Teresa makes it, it'll definitely happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if she doesn't.
That night in San Francisco.
Yeah, there's also one in Palo Alto, and there's potentially one down, we haven't completely decided yet, but one down near Santa Cruz, and there's also an event up near the monastery that we're planning. So, you know, keep an eye on the web about what's happening with the latest developments of Teresa, and all that will be confirmed or not in probably the next few days.
Right.
Thanks, Holly.
Oh, thanks a lot, and I'll see you.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Holly. You're listening to Open Air. Dave, I could feel myself relax as I was listening to you talk. It was really great to find that place of relaxation.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I think, you know, I've really been getting that for myself. That's probably why it came up for me. But, in relationship to the event with the tour with Teresa and all the events that have been around that and just everything else in life, you know, the further I go along, the more I see that, you know, there really isn't anything to do but just practice, just sit, you know, just show up, just do the next thing that needs to be done to support awareness practice in myself and wherever else I can support it. And pretty much everything else in my life will take care of itself.
Yes. Yes, that's my experience also. And I really appreciated your reminder to look at that conditioned expectation of, if I practice, then I'm going to feel better.
Yeah. Yeah, or I'll be a better person, or I'll be right, or all those tempting little kind of baits that conditioning dangles in front of us. You know? And they're so tempting too, aren't they? It's like, oh yeah, this here, now I'll finally get it. Here's another good one. Now I'll finally get what I want.
Right.
But that's not it at all.
Wonderful. Dave, we have three more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Helen from London.
Hey, Helen.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm not doing so good, really, and it's quite difficult to follow that call because it sounded all very positive.
Uh-huh.
And
what's going on with you?
I'm very depressed and very negative, and all I can hear myself saying and thinking is, yes, but, and what's the point?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that I feel like there's someone that I've called Clipboard Girl who seems to take great pleasure in whenever something goes wrong. And
kind of checking it off on the list or putting it in that didn't work out, Colin.
Yeah, and almost like, it's like if I was running in a race, there was someone there who was cheering that I came last, and not if that there was anyone cheering that I came first. You know, it's just like, you know, everything that I'm doing that's not working out is just another confirmation that I'm bad or my life's rubbish or, you know.
Yeah,
so
that's
I'm
what
just
we call.
Really. Sorry?
I'm sure you're aware that's what we call self-hatred.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you've got any tips about how to deal with that, because I feel the weight and the intensity of how much investment there is in, almost in failing, and there's almost this kind of sadistic pleasure when something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That I could tick it off on the list, you know.
Yeah.
It's another thing that's gone.
Yeah, conditioning just so loves that because you get to be a victim. You know, a lot of times you get to justify kind of unhealthy or kind of unhelpful behaviors. You know, you get to do all kinds of groovy stuff if things aren't going your way. There's a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you. I wonder. can you think back to a time in your life when you were not aware of Clipboard Girl? In the sense that, let me lead you a little bit more. Not in the sense that it wasn't, looking back to a time when it wasn't happening, because I can pretty much guarantee you this has been happening ever since you, you know, learned how to be a conditioned person when you were really little. But a time when you were not aware of it. Because what I hear you describing is, you know, you're describing suffering. You're describing being, you know, involved with self-hatred, living in the world that self-hatred will create for any of us. That's just what it does. And yet I'm also hearing an awareness of that, which is particularly interesting. So I wonder, do you remember a time when you were not aware of all this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, most of my life, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I am more acutely aware of it right now, and I mean, that's definitely changed, and that, you know, I've even got a name for her now.
Exactly, yeah.
But,
and I'm curious, too, you know, so that you're aware of it, you've got a name for it. Can you see differences in your relationship with it as a result of that, as it goes on?
Well, I think the reason I'm calling is because a lot of the time I go, I mustn't indulge in that. I mustn't, you know, I mustn't sort of go there. And as I've got more and more depressed, I found myself get more and more into that sort of thinking and that, you know, it's sort of like she's, I don't know, I even made a list the other day on my computer. I just thought, well, I'm just going to have to do this list of everything that's gone wrong, rather than trying to pretend that she's not there or,
Oh, I think you're really onto something there. I think you should try to get as depressed as you possibly can.
Sorry, say again?
I think you're onto something with that. I think you should try to get as depressed as you possibly can.
Right. Okay.
Do you see why?
No.
Okay. Well, it's like it's not actually bad news. It can be looked at as bad news, but unfortunately, well, it's really not even unfortunately, so I won't qualify it, but this is just kind of the way it is as far as I can tell, that, you know, we have this practice, as we were talking before, that can absolutely liberate us from suffering. And what's involved in that is going through all the suffering and really facing everything that we've been running away from all our lives. It's just how it is. And that can be extremely painful, extremely difficult, frustrating, every other negative adjective you can possibly think of. And it has to be done. The good thing about it, though, is that process of going through that is exactly what will take us where we want to go. The hard part is remembering that while it's going on. So if you will allow me to project a little bit onto your experience here, what I would project is you're doing practice, and practice is making a difference for you in your life. I wonder if you can step out of it enough to sort of see how that's so.
Not really.
Not tricky right now. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a leap. Okay, so anyway, just theoretically, anyway, for now, what I would project is you're doing a practice, the practice of making a difference for you in your life. Something's happening. You know, things are changing inside. What that does is it invites in all of the things that we've been running away from. So like this, whatever this is, this depression, you know, depression is never really anything in itself. It's just the experience what we call the experience of really going in and through something that's really challenging, or one way of doing that. And so whatever this is for you is one of those things that is necessary for you to go through. And the way it works, in my experience, is we start to go in it, and then it gets worse, and then we say, oh, my gosh, I need to really practice here, and then it gets worse, and then, oh, my God, and then we're struggling and trying to do everything, and it gets worse, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and then it gets so bad that ultimately that we break through. And for some reason, that's just kind of the path it takes. Now, over time, that path can get a lot shorter, but it takes a lot of practice, you know, to kind of shorten it. But that's what I, when I said, you know, maybe it's not, like you say, to go ahead and write that list out. You know, get as depressed as you possibly can. You know, hurry up the process of going through this, because I can guarantee you, if you're willing to hang in with yourself in this, with the awareness that you have that this is just conditioning, because you obviously have that awareness. This is just conditioning. This is just how conditioned mind is trying to make you suffer and not give up. I can guarantee you, suddenly it'll get worse and worse and worse and worse, and then suddenly you'll break through. You'll let go. Usually right before that happens, there's something that happens like, oh, I just give up. I don't care anymore. And then, boom, we're out of it. It's all done. We're free. We see what it was that we struggle with. We become, suddenly we're a much bigger person. There's compassion there that wasn't there before. And it's amazing. But we have to be willing to not give up through the slog in order to get there.
Yeah, because most of me wants to give up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the conditioning in you wants to give up. Obviously, there's something very much that doesn't, because you're actively doing practice with this at the same time.
So it's okay to make the list, because I kind of kept thinking, right, I've got to ignore this person that wants to keep making a list, and then I just thought, maybe I just need to let her make lots of lists.
I really think you're on something. You know, in a situation like this, the way I look at it for myself is everything's allowed. You know,
right.
Everything is allowed. Because you could probably see how, you know, that voice that says, oh, well, you know, I can't remember how you expressed it a little bit earlier, but you mustn't be indulging this.
Mm.
You know, that's just another piece of the puzzle, isn't it? That's just another wall in the box that conditioning is trying to cram you into.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'll work with that.
Great. And thanks for your willingness too, Holly. And I hope, you might, that little trick we were talking about earlier about, we call them reassurances, as I think you're aware. You know, imagine, you know, what if there's somebody else who was in this situation, what would you want to say to them? And then write that stuff down and put it all over the place. And really include an acknowledgement of the willingness that you do have to do this and to go through this and the courage it takes to bring this kind of attention to your process. Because, you know, you don't have to be. You know what I mean?
To be what?
You don't have to be doing this. You know, you don't have to be attempting to end suffering through this. When I asked you earlier about, you know, has your relationship changed, what I was projecting was, well, you used to be just totally believe what was going on and be running away from it. Now you don't believe it. It's still happening. You're aware of it, and you're doing your darndest to stay put in the middle of it so you can see what's going on.
Yep.
So maybe a great big sign in your living room or in your bedroom or wherever would be appropriate, saying, you know, you're doing great. just to help support you as you go through this.
Well, thanks, Dave. That's really helpful. Thank you. And thanks, Michael.
You're very welcome.
Take care. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us in the middle of the night. It's always great to hear from Sangha all over the world. It's very inspiring to me, and I hear all the courage in that. Also.
Yeah, I do too.
Dave, we have about 5 minutes left, and we have two callers, and I'd like to invite the last caller. If we don't get to you, please call in next week, and we'd love to talk to you then, if not tonight.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Steve from Albany, New York.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Steve.
So we don't have a lot of time, so I'll just give you a quick summary. What I'm looking at is a relationship issue that's been with me for a long time. And, you know, there's a little bit of disappointment and frustration over it being with me for a long time, kind of still being in the same place with it.
So that would be another aspect of what we would call self-hatred, huh?
Yeah. I want to give a, can I give us a little bit of content information here?
Sure.
We'll
have to be pretty quick.
It's with my wife. You know, it comes up around this someone inside me who needs to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And if I perceive or judge that, you know, she's angry, she's not hearing me, I say words, and what comes back at me is not, oh, so you're saying this, but, well, you know, I don't care what, not in so many words, but basically I don't care what you just said, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. That person, you know, has a companion who gets really angry really fast and, you know, gets into a rage.
Mm-hmm.
So, not always really fast, but sometimes that's, sometimes certainly, you know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's been the effort of, oh, this time I'm just not going to do it again, not going to do it again, but it happens. So.
Yeah, well, you know, it never,
as
you're probably aware, it never works to kind of attack it on the outermost edge of it.
Oh, I know
like
that,
that
now. You know, it's been a while since I've you know, set myself up for failure by promising never to do it again.
Yeah. Trying to tackle it out there on the actual, in the interaction or whatever the
mm-hmm.
situation is, without first attending to it on the inside, it's only going to lead to more and more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Steve, I'm wondering, have you considered ways that you might listen to that part of you in the way that he needs to be listened to?
Well, I've had some successes with that at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I just, if I'm in a situation where it feels like it's over my head, like that rage might come out, I excuse myself and do whatever I need to do to excuse myself, even if I'm not welcome to be excused. And
yeah, and that kind of that
give
kind
myself
of thing.
A hug and just be with whatever pain I'm feeling, whatever sadness, and, you know, that helps. I haven't
yeah, that's great.
With that
and,
or even done it in a while, really.
Okay, yeah, well, it might be time to kind of reamp it, huh?
Well, there's another issue that comes up that seems to be related, and that's the, you know, the loner thing of me. You know, okay, I do practice, I meditate, you know, I listen to the archives to stay in touch, and I call on the radio show probably 3-4 times a year, but that's it, you know, no workshops,
mm-hmm.
no...
Okay, so, Steve, we're going to have to... Steve, we're just about out of time, so we're going to have to cut to the chase here. So,
okay,
Yeah, so there's that too. And I would bet you that the answer for both is the same,
mm-hmm.
which is, and I know this is not the answer we want to hear a lot of times, but it is the answer, which is that, you know, whatever it is that we need, we need to provide it for ourselves on the inside. And
yeah.
not just in, I mean, it's great what you're describing about, you know, you feel a rage coming up, give yourself a timeout, go say, hey, I got to go use the John, you know, or whatever, disappear for a little bit. And take care of yourself, you know, all that stuff is fabulous. And, you know, it's great stuff. And what needs to happen is that stuff needs to happen all the time, way before the situation as it unfolds, you know?
Yeah.
So as you're going through your life, you know, so identifying, you know, it's really helpful to identify something like there's this part of you who really needs to feels like he's not heard and really needs to be heard. Great. That gives you a very clear direction to go in. Okay. So what do we got to say? And so, you know, start working with it at times when it's not challenging. You know, take this guy for a walk in the park, if there's a park around or some beautiful place, and have a little dialogue with him. You know, you can do it. There's all kinds of different ways. You can do it, with a pen. You know, you can write down the question, have him write down the answer. You can even use your non-dominant hand to give him to try to write out the answer. To kind of help take away some of the conditioning, you can actually talk to him inside your mind or even out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like in it, before, way before, you know, your wife is somewhere far away, you know, it's just you, there's the opportunity to build that relationship with him. And it's a big piece of work, you know, it's going to, like any relationship, it's going to require your full time, attention, and from you to make that possible. And I think if you're willing to do that, I think what you'll find is he won't need to try to get that need met on the outside so much anymore. And that's the stuff on the outside that's so difficult will begin to be taken care of on its own.
And I see what you mean, because there's no telling, you know, when either conditioning from the inside or, you know, my partner from the outside is going to kind of blindside me when I'm moving along, not expecting it.
Exactly.
You know, and so I need to be ready at any moment.
Exactly. Yeah, like we all do. We need to be prepared. You know, that's why, you know, when you're in a situation like that with your wife, I mean, just whatever. You know, whatever happens, happens. It doesn't matter. Just the main thing is no beatings afterwards. You know, maybe you, I don't know what you do, if you shout or jump up and down or, you know, blame her or whatever you do. It's all okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then the commitment is, you know, after it happens, it's like, okay, thank you for that. That was a really good reminder. Now, my commitment is every moment that I can possibly do it, I am going to be present with myself and that part of me who needs to be heard, because that's the place that it's actually coming from.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, the tool to be able to listen to someone else is listen to yourself.
Yeah, because, you know, of course, it doesn't have anything to do with the other person. You know, she's just the catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as this relationship with this part of you changes, you'll see her in a completely different way. And I bet you things will change, but with her. But in a way, that you know, that's a long way down the road. You know, there's a much closer relationship that needs your attention right now, which
well,
is.
I see that I can't be in that place of, oh wow, maybe you had a hard day, what's going on, unless I can be there with myself. I just, no matter how committed I am, I can even be at the beginning. It doesn't matter. I lose it. You know.
Exactly, and we'll have to go in just a second, Steve. But I'm gonna give you one more little tip.
Okay.
This is a great one, which is reflective listening. Do you know what reflective listening is?
I actually did it for a quarter or two. Yeah, I haven't lately.
Oh, okay. Well, that's your key to success on the outside.
All right.
If you're willing to
sign off, the next one starts soon, right?
Yeah, it actually starts in just a couple weeks, couple 3 weeks.
All right. The email will be coming soon, right?
It will be coming. Yeah, it actually is coming out, I think, like this 2 or 3 days from now. And so... So you can be a part of the program, but also with her, with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
She starts talking, you know, you start reflecting. That'll give you your best chance of staying centered and not having anything happen that you regret later.
Whether she's willing to reflect me or not.
Well, you can't expect her to reflect you.
Yes. Right.
This is about you. It's not about her. She's got to work out of her own salvation. We just got to focus on one person right now, which is Steve.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
But you can reflect her, and it'll make a big difference.
Okay.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Steve. Dave, it's been a great pleasure, and I'm always reinvigorated and re-clarified at the end, so thank you.
Me too, Michael. It's a good process, I think, for all of us. And for anybody who wasn't at... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
For anybody who wasn't at the beginning of the call, there's big stuff happening with the Teresa Tour, so check out the blog, find out what's going on.
Check out the blog. And a big thank you to everybody involved, from Cantalumba to here, to callers, to listeners, to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody who is working to make this whole thing happen, which is a lot of people.
A lot of people. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Michael. Have a good evening.
You too. Good night.
Bye-bye.